So the reading is Mark 4, verses 35 to 41. That day, when evening came, he said to his disciples, "Let us go over to the other side." Leaving the crowd behind, they took him along, just as he was, in the boat. There was also other boats with him. A furious squall came up, and the waves broke over the boat, so that it was nearly swamped. Jesus was in the stern, sleeping on a cushion. The disciples woke him and said to him, "Teacher, don't you care if we drown?" He got up, rebuked the wind, and said to the waves, "Quiet, be still." Then the wind died down, and it was completely calm. He said to his disciples, "Why are you so afraid? Do you still have no faith?" They were terrified and asked each other, "Who is this? Even the wind and the waves obey him." It's the word of the Lord.
Good morning, everyone. Good morning. My name is Jun Kim. I'm originally from South Korea, and now I serve as one of the pastors at New Westminster CRC, which is not too far away from here. I think many of you know. I'm very grateful that you have invited me to open God's Word with you this morning. Pastor Yo and I, and Pastor Andrew, who is our lead pastor at New West, and other, along with some other pastors from the region, have been in the same pastor's prayer group for, I think, more than a year now. And I also have been in this beautiful building a few times. So that as churches in the same denomination and in the same city, that we can work together for God's kingdom and for His glory. Thank you, David, for reading the passage, God's Word to us. Jesus had a very long day. We just read a passage from chapter 4, and if we go back to verse 1 of chapter 4, it says, "Again, Jesus began to teach by the lake." And then for the 34 verses prior to our passage today, he teaches the parable of the sower, and then he teaches the parable of the lamp on a stand, and then the parable of the growing seed, and then the parable of the mustard seed. So surely Jesus loved to talk. 4 sermons in a day, and no wonder he is very tired by the end of the day. So when the evening comes, he wants to rest. Our Lord Jesus, he loved to be with people, but he also regularly took time off and time to be away from the people. So he says to his disciples, "Let's now go to the other side of the lake where we can rest." So as the sun sets, Jesus is on the boat with the disciples, sailing across the lake, which is about 13 kilometers wide. And all of a sudden, we read about a furious storm. So waves broke over the boat. Water comes into the boat faster than they can bail it out. And the boat was getting nearly swamped. And what does Jesus do? He is sleeping. And our passage today says he was sleeping on a cushion. To me, that sounds like he was very determined to sleep. I mean, if you come in to church on a Sunday morning with a pillow, then the preacher will know what you're trying to say. Jesus sleeps on a cushion in a storm. I think at first, the disciples probably waited, right? But then the wind became stronger. They still waited, and it became even more stronger. They waited a little bit more, but then the waves started to hit from all sides. Then water begins to pour into the boat. We're definitely in a trouble, they think. And Jesus is still sleeping. So they wake him up and say, "Teacher, don't you care if we drown? Do you not care if we die?" And they don't even say, "Do something, Jesus." Maybe they thought it was too late. Then Jesus gets up. He looks around. And as if it's not a big deal, does something remarkable that the disciples could not have imagined. He rebukes the wind and commands to the waves, "Quiet, be still." Then the wind dies and it was completely calm, dead calm. And I wonder, what a perfect timing to say something very dramatic, right? If I were Jesus at the time when it's that calm, maybe you want to say, "This is who I am," or "Worship me," or whatever you want to say. But at that moment, Jesus turns to the disciples and he says, "Why are you so afraid? Why are you so afraid?" Let's think about this. Because for his action to be a greater miracle, what Jesus did is a greater miracle if people were more scared, right? He saved his disciples from a very scary situation. Jesus' saving work is greater if the situation was direr. But he speaks as if it wasn't a big deal. And he says, "Why? Why are you so afraid?" Jesus, we were about to die. The disciples, as you know, were fishers in that very lake for a long time. So when they say and they think they were about to die, I don't think it was an exaggeration, right? Many commentators say the storms in that lake were very common. The Sea of Galilee is actually the lake that has the lowest elevation on earth. And so the lake itself is more than 200 meters below sea level. And it's surrounded by a very high mountainous region. And it creates a lot of storms. So when these experienced local fishermen say, "We were going to die," they were going to die, really. "So what do you mean, Jesus? Why are you so afraid?" It's a very hard thing to understand. But I like it when Jesus says something and it's hard to understand. Because there's always something about it. Always there's something Jesus is trying to show to us, to teach us. So let's look at the passage again, especially verse 38. It says, "Jesus was in the stern, sleeping on a pillow," again. "And the disciples, they finally woke him up and said, 'Teacher, don't you care if we drown?'" That's what they said. "Teacher, don't you care if we drown?" Now, that sounds different than just being afraid, isn't it? I think I see something else there. Before, I thought it was just fear. But now, I see doubt, resentment, or even feeling of being betrayed by the one they trusted. "Why don't you care? Why can't you help me?" See, until just a while ago, on the other side of the lake, Jesus, you performed all kinds of miracles. Just a few hours ago, you healed people, you fed people, 5,000 people you fed, and most importantly, you called us to follow you, just a chapter before. Jesus, we left our families and our occupations to follow you. And now you don't care if we are about to die? Jesus, we left our families and our occupations. Didn't you see? And didn't you know that the storm was coming? Couldn't you have saved us from this? Maybe they were thinking, I should have stayed at home. I knew there was something strange when he said, I'll make you fishers of men. Like, what is that supposed to mean? Or, Jesus, why didn't we just stay on the other side of the lake? Why did you say, let's go to the other side of the lake? You know, people were, 5,000 people were cheering for us, and they were wanting to make you a king. Why do you always run away when people want you so badly? Right? When you have all this popularity, why do you want to run away from that? This fear that the disciples had in the storm, the fear doesn't stop at being just afraid. This fear always leads us to something else. The fear, I think it always brings his friends doubt, resentment, disappointment, and distrust. And to that, Jesus says, why are you so afraid? And isn't it true? We too often experience the same thing. God, I read it in the Bible and I hear people share their testimonies all the time. God, this friend of mine, he prayed for finding a new job last week, and today he says you answered his prayer. Why does it have to be so difficult for me to be employed? Don't you care? God, really? They now have their fourth child? When we have been praying so many years to have one baby? Don't you care? Or, God, didn't you heal this lady from her illness in such a miraculous way? Why not my mother? Don't you care? Why did this happen to me? Don't you care? Recently, we all heard about this terrible news of mass shooting that happened in New Zealand. And, you know, every now and then we hear of some kind of shooting incident in the U.S. Another day where a parent will not be able to see their children again. Sometime last year, I think it was in the fall, I was in L.A. for a conference, and there I met a lady who has lost his son, Paul Lee, at a mass shooting incident at Seattle Pacific University about 4 or 5 years ago. Paul was a first-year student from Portland, Oregon. The mom, she shared with us that after 5 years, still, her heart drops whenever she hears a sound of siren. It's a difficult thing when you see it on the news. It's a different thing when you see it on the news and when you hear what happened from a mother who will never see her son again. And she said, the question that haunted her and her family for a long time was, God, why did you lead my family to come to U.S.? They were from South Korea, immigrant family. So they couldn't help but ask, why, God, why didn't you just let us live in South Korea where there is zero gun violence? It's kind of asking, why didn't we just stay on the other side of the lake? Jesus, why did you say, let's go to the other side of the lake and have us encounter this horrific storm? Don't you care if we die? Don't you care if my son dies? She said with tears in her eyes. If a storm is something that makes you fear, if it's something that makes you doubt, if it's something that makes you cry, I'm about to die, and if it's something that makes you say, God, don't you care? Then don't we all have storms? Don't we all have furious and fierce storms in our lives? And don't we know that when we experience such storm, it's never just a figurative, metaphoric storm, but a real one, a furious one that tries to devour our lives. And if God is so great and powerful, and if He really cares and loves us, then why? Why don't you care? Storms of life, overwhelming, wave after wave after wave, whether that's a financial wave or relational wave or health-related wave, to the point where we are about to sink and drown. And it seems like Jesus, who I thought was with me, is sleeping. Lord, Master, don't you care? And Jesus sees us and says to us, why are you afraid? Why are you afraid? And that question, I think, brings us to the deepest bottom of our hearts, and we realize we are afraid not because the storm is great, but we are afraid because it feels like God is not there. Because we can't see God in the picture. And that's why He says, do you have no faith? Maybe, just maybe, that's what's at the heart of the issue. Do you have no faith? Do you have no faith? But listen carefully. This question is not about us. It's about God. The question is not, do you have enough faith? But the question is God worthy of your trust? That's two very different questions, right? Jesus is not asking if our faith is strong enough that we will not be afraid. But He is asking, am I worthy of your trust? It's about God and who He is. How do we know that? Well, in verse 41, it says, after all the things have happened, Jesus calmed the storm and He asked disciples, do you have no faith? In verse 41, it says, the disciples were terrified and asked each other, who is this? Even the wind and the waves obey Him. They are terrified. They are still afraid. Some translations say they were still in great fear. Right? Before the storm, in the midst of the storm, they were afraid. But now they are terrified with a great fear. Terrified with the fear of Jesus. When we realize that Jesus is the Lord, really the Lord of all things, we are terrified. Yes, he is loving and tender. But any time you and I are in the presence of this unfathomable greatness and lordship of our Jesus Christ, we feel a sense of fear, great fear. Remember what he said to the storm? Quiet! Be still! I can only speak like that to my children. Quiet! Be still! No one else. Never to my wife. Quiet! Be still! See? Only a father can speak like that. Only a king can speak like that. Only a creator can speak like that to the wind and the storm. As the master, as the Lord, creator of all things. See, Jesus doesn't pray to God. He doesn't say, God, please stop the storm. Instead, he does it himself because he is God. That's who he is. Then we know the answer to the question that the disciples are asking. Disciples were asking, who is this? Even the wind and the waves obey him. We are now filled with great fear. Not the fear that brings and not the fear that's filled with doubt or resentment or disappointment or distrust, but the kind of fear that's filled with awe and reverence and love. What are two different kinds of fear that we can have? One that leads to despair and distrust. Another that fills us with trust and awe. And the difference is that the difference between the two different fears is the object of the fear. When we fear the things that we don't need to be afraid of, things go wrong. But when we fear the only when we fear the thing that's only worthy of our fear, the great fear, fear filled with awe and love, when we have that proper fear toward the only person that we should have our loving fear to, then we fear nothing else. When we fear Jesus, we fear nothing else. In a book titled Jesus the King, written by Tim Keller, he notices the striking similarity between our passage today and the story of Jonah in the Old Testament. It's a fascinating comparison. If you know the story of Jonah, it almost seems like Mark is deliberately using the language of Jonah to portray what happened on the Sea of Galilee. Both Jesus and Jonah were out in the sea, in the water. Right? In both cases, they experienced a furious storm, and the boat was about to sink. And if you compare the two passages, the descriptions are very similar. And both Jesus and Jonah sleeps through the storm, right? Inside the boat, deep down below the deck. Well, Jonah, it doesn't say Jonah had a cushion, but he surely had a deep sleep. In both cases, the sailors and the disciples were terrified by the storm. And they wake up Jesus and they wake up Jonah and says, don't you care if we die? They say the same thing. And in both cases, with the miraculous intervention by God, the sea becomes calm. And lastly, in both stories, the disciples and the sailors were now more terrified than before the storm because of the power that has made the storm calm. But there's one difference in the two stories. Jonah, in the midst of the storm, says, "Pick me up and throw me into the sea, and you will live." But Jesus doesn't say that, right? Or is it really? "If I die, you will live," says Jonah, and says Jesus. "By my death, you will live," said Jonah, and says Jesus. I think Mark is saying the story isn't different at all. And that's why in Matthew 12, Jesus says, "Someone greater than Jonah is here." On the cross, Jesus threw himself into the greatest storm, the only storm that can really kill us because of our sins. And he becomes for us the greatest Savior. He becomes for us the greatest Savior from the greatest storm. And he says, "If I die, you will live. By my death, you will live." And how can anyone say, "Jesus, don't you care?" People of God, this is why we are filled with hope when it seems there's no hope. This is why we can be at peace when the world can when the world cannot understand our peace. I think about all the other boats that's mentioned in the passage. In verse 36, Mark tells us about all the other boats that were in the lake. I think when all this happened, all the storm and all of a sudden it's quiet, I wonder what the other boats, what they made out of this experience. They probably had no clue that it was Jesus who commanded the sea to be quiet. I think for them, it just happened. And their fear will be again when the next storm comes. But for the disciples, for us, for those who were in the vessel, Jesus forever changed our fear. And that's how a mother who lost his son in an unexplainable tragedy can still live and can still love and can still rest. Because Jesus died, so we will live. Listen to the words of one of my favorite hymns. "Be gone, unbelief, my Savior is near, and for my relief will surely appear. By prayer let me wrestle, and he will perform. With Christ in the vessel, I smile at the storm." These are the words of John Newton, who was a pastor and also a sailor in the Royal Navy of England. And he is the one that wrote the words of "Amazing Grace." Amazing grace. "How sweet the sound that saved a wretch like me. I once was lost, but now am found. Was blind, but now I see. 'Twas grace that taught my heart to fear, and grace my fears relieved. How precious did grace appear the hour I first believed. The Lord has promised good to me. His word my hope secures. He will my shield and portion be as long as life endures." John Newton, I think, surely knew about storms of his life, both on the real boats and the storms of his life. And he sings "Amazing Grace," amazing grace. With Christ in the vessel, I smile at the storm. May that be the words of the song that we sing all our lives. And all God's people say, Amen.